as I get. Very, very nice experience and very nice opportunity for all of us to share together in Krishna consciousness. We have a rather amusing chair. This is just where if anyone's falling asleep, we just do a trick on the chair and people will wake up. So we're going to be doing a course about the 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy names. Just in case any of you are falling asleep already. Let me just say, oh, that's better. Okay, that'll do. That's good. Okay. 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy names. Hopefully you've all got this, do you? A copy of this overview, which we just put together rather quickly, actually. So today we're... today, tomorrow, and Sunday, actually, the class times will be from about 12:30 till about 2:30, 2 hours, but in the middle we'll take 10 or 15 minute break. And then on Monday, actually I forget exactly what time it is, but it's at a different time. It's about 1:30 to 3 or something like that. Anyway, we'll make you aware of that. What is it, 11 to 1? 11 to 1, isn't it? 11:30 to 1, or something like that. So we'll be going through all 10 offenses, and then I believe you're meant to be having a test, am I right?
No.
Yes. But anyway, the thing is that perhaps any of you who take the test will give you a prize just for doing it. Anyway, I'll tell you now what we're going to, at least a couple of things that we're going to ask you in the test about this, about our course here. And first thing, of course, naturally, we'll have to ask you what are the 10 offenses. So you must know what are the 10 offenses. And I would hope that you all know the 10 offenses already. Any of you who don't know the 10 offenses already? I see. Well, it's hard to avoid them if you don't know what they are. So, but this is so basic. This is a very basic thing. So that'll be there. And then, well, today we are going to particularly focus on the first offense, which is very, very important offense and something which we actually talk about quite a bit. So we'll try and focus in on that. First offense, blaspheming the devotees. We'll do that today, and then the other days we'll go through the others. Now, as far as... So we'll ask you about the 10 offenses. What are the 10 offenses? And as far as what we're going to discuss today is concerned, we will... Anyway, as we go through, as we come across the points, I'll make you aware of them. The points that we're going to ask questions about in the test, but there'll just be a couple. It'll be very easy. So the 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy names, we all know, you all know very well, that in this age of Kali, that Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatir anyata. That in this age of Kali, there's no other way, no other way, no other way than chanting the holy names, chanting the holy names, chanting the holy names. No other way to go back to Godhead. So that is well known to all of us. That is the Yuga Dharma. And Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, has appeared to teach that, to demonstrate it. Very important. Most important, actually, without chanting the holy names, without actually having the chanting of the holy names as the focal point of your spiritual activities, then there can hardly be any advancement for anyone. So in other sampradayas or other traditions like this, where generally they're not actually chanting the holy names very much, then we can understand that not really very much advancement that they can make. So this chanting of the holy names is so important. And Srila Prabhupada, whenever he would give first initiation, and of course the practice continues nowadays also, he would always talk about the 10 offenses, how the chanting of the holy names is so important, so valuable, that if you commit offenses, then Prabhupada would say, he said different things. One thing was that it's like trying to light a fire with one hand while pouring water on it with the other. Yes, if you're chanting, trying to focus on your chanting, but you're committing offenses, then it's like that. So to understand these offenses and know them very clearly and to know something about them, different aspects of how they may occur in our lives, how we may commit them, and what to do about them if we somehow or other unfortunately do. So these are very important considerations in Krishna consciousness. They have a very big effect. Just to give you an idea, you've probably heard the story, I'm sure you've heard the story before, of the devotees who are staying in Hawaii, and they had had certain experiences dealing with the administration of ISKCON, and they felt they'd had bad experiences, they felt they'd been mistreated, and they weren't prepared to be tolerant or try again like that. So they came to Srila Prabhupada and told Srila Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, we like you so much, we're very attached to you, we'll do anything that you ask. You've heard this story, haven't you? You've heard this story. We'll do anything. You just tell us, we'll do anything. We'll follow you. But these GBC members, this GBC body, no, sorry. We just can't do it. We tried, but we can't. So Srila Prabhupada, ever clever, said that, oh, well, that's very nice. You'll do whatever I say? Yes, Srila Prabhupada, we'll do anything. Just order us. Then Srila Prabhupada said, then, all right, then just follow the GBC. And you've all heard that before, but it's very, like, one of the very important stories there are. So anyway, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And they went out, and then it became clear after a few days that they were not intending to do that. But they were still around. Actually, they had their own ashram. They had even separated themselves to that extent. They had their own ashram. So it became clear that they were not going to obey that order. So a few days later, Srila Prabhupada was having his morning walk on one of the beaches there in Hawaii. And the subject came up about these people and what they were doing and what was their position. And one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that you've given these devotees a clear order, but now they've disobeyed that order. So we all know that this is the, which offense is that? Don't look.
Third.
Okay. That's the third offense. Guror avagya, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So this devotee then asked Srila Prabhupada, that these people, they are chanting Hare Krishna, they are devotees, and at least they're continuing, basically continuing as devotees, but they're disobeying this order of yours, Srila Prabhupada. So what will be the result? Will they be able to become Krishna conscious? Srila Prabhupada, and will they be able to make any advancement? Srila Prabhupada said, well, maybe after 400 lifetimes. It's a long time. So here we have one order, from Srila Prabhupada, but they were disobeying that order. It's an important order, of course. And on the basis of this disobeying this one order, Srila Prabhupada felt that, he not just felt, but he said that, pointed out that it would have such a drastic effect on their lives in Krishna consciousness. So these are big things, these offenses, and to avoid them is very, very important. Let us read through here just the first page as a little introduction, and then we'll go on to discussing about the first offense. So we have taken a quotation out of Nectar of Devotion. This is out of the 8th chapter. Srila Prabhupada says, in the Padma Purana it is stated that even a person whose life is completely sinful will be completely protected by the Lord if he simply surrenders unto him. So it is accepted that one who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes free from all sinful reactions. And even when a person becomes an offender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can still be delivered simply by taking shelter of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now just a little point before we read this last sentence here. When Srila Prabhupada says here that even when a person becomes an offender unto the Supreme Personality of God, Godhead himself, he can still be delivered by chanting, Srila Prabhupada is speaking in a certain context, that is the context of the 8th chapter of Nectar of Devotion. Who can tell us what the 8th chapter of Nectar of Devotion is about? Anyway, we need to do a bit more reading, perhaps. It's called Offenses to be Avoided. Yeah. And Srila Prabhupada, first of all, lists out a whole list, actually two lists of offenses, which we call Seva Aparad. Offenses you may commit in the course of rendering devotional service, beginning with, who knows what the first of such offenses is? Anyone know? Dhanaja. Well, to enter the temple room with your shoes on, yeah. Or riding in a palanquin. So, this is the first of those Seva Aparads. And they're considered to be offenses in service, but in service to who? Of course, in service to Krishna. So when Srila Prabhupada says here that even when a person becomes an offender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he's referring to those Seva Aparads. Even if someone commits some offense like that, you know, there's so many, and we're not going to really look at them very much, but you may be aware of some we've just mentioned. Entering the temple room with your shoes on. When you enter the temple room, if you bow down, but don't bow down properly. There's panchanga. Obeisances and ashtanga, obeisances where five parts of your body touch the ground, and obeisances where eight parts of your body touch the ground. In other words, when you kneel down or you prostrate yourself, offering dandavats. So if you don't bow down properly, it's an offense. If when you bow down, you don't utter the pranam mantras to your spiritual master out loud, if you just say them in your mind or just whisper them, then this is also an offense. And there's so many offenses listed out there. There's something like 60, 64, something like that. So then at the end of listing out all those Seva Aparads, Srila Prabhupada makes this point, that even if you become an offender to Krishna in this sense, that if you chant Hare Krishna, then you can be delivered. So then let's just read on. In other words, the chanting of Hare Krishna is beneficial for eradicating all sins. But if one becomes an offender to the holy names of the Lord, then he has no chance of being delivered. So we all want to be delivered. No one wants to stay here in the material world and rot. Of course, some of us may feel that we have the sentiment we would be willing to come back and preach. So that, you know, that may be there, but that's a pretty elevated type of desire. And if you read that book by Burijan Prabhu, my glorious master, you'll see that he, Prabhupada, was talking about going back to Godhead. And Burijan Prabhu, he offered a little sort of few words of sentiment. He said, actually, Srila Prabhupada, we'd like to stay here and preach on your behalf. And Srila Prabhupada, understanding it was a bit of a sentiment, it wasn't so deep, Srila Prabhupada, without asking him, well, you know, what's going to happen to you if you stay here? Are you going to preach or end up in Maya? Prabhupada just looked at him and said, don't make your spiritual master come back for you. Yeah. So we all want to be delivered. And Srila Prabhupada is saying here that if you commit these offenses in the chanting of Hare Krishna, then you cannot be delivered. So therefore, I think it's very important, isn't it, to get a grip on these 10 offenses, and particularly to avoid committing them. Some of you will have heard me tell the story. I was present once with Srila Prabhupada when one devotee read out to Srila Prabhupada this very thing that we have just read now. This very bit. He read it out to Srila Prabhupada. It was in a darshan in Prabhupada's room in Bhaktivedanta Manor. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, it says here like this, that if you offend the holy names, then there's no chance of being delivered. But isn't there some way of being delivered? And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, you are asking this question because you want to offend. It was very heavy. It was actually about the heaviest thing I'd ever seen in my personal presence with Srila Prabhupada. The other heaviest thing, which may have actually been, which was heavier, was when the temple president of the Edinburgh Temple in Scotland asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, we have rats in our building. Is it all right if we kill them? And Srila Prabhupada replied that if you kill the rats, then you should be killed. And the devotee didn't hear. This was in a room like something like as many devotees or more than we have here in Bhaktivedanta Manor. And the devotee didn't really grasp it. He said, excuse me, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said that if you kill the rats, then you should be killed. And then there was a characteristic deep silence. So something similar happened here. We were all sitting there enjoying Srila Prabhupada's association. But Srila Prabhupada was not one to be sentimental and just get into a certain mood and joke around, or, you know, casual mood. So when this question came up, he was very heavy. He said, if you are asking this question because you want to offend, you must stop offending. No more offenses. No more offenses. So this is very, very important. Let's just read through the offenses. I'm sure we all basically know them, but just for our purification. Let's read them together out loud, okay? As we do in the temple every morning. The 10 offenses in the chanting of Hare Krishna are as follows. 1. To blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. 2. to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. 3. To disobey the orders of the spiritual master. 4. To blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. 5. To consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. 6. To give some interpretation of the holy name of the Lord. 7. To commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name of the Lord. 8. To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna, one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities, Karma Kanda. 9. To instruct the faithless person about the glories of the holy name. 10. To not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. Every devotee who claims to be a Vaishnava must guard against these offenses in order to quickly achieve the desired success. Krishna prayer. Yes. So there you have the 10 offenses, and you please learn those for the test. And let's turn over now. And today we're going to discuss about this first offense. To blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. And here you see we have given 5 little subheadings, and of course there's so many different subheadings and different aspects to this, and we'll try and cover as many as we reasonably can before 2:30 today. So first point we've brought out is how Krishna himself, speaking to Uddhava, in the 11th canto, this is called the Uddhava Gita. Just like we've got Bhagavad Gita, we've got Uddhava Gita. Bhagavad Gita, we all know Bhagavad Gita, of course, it's very, very important. Uddhava Gita is also spoken by Krishna, it's there in the 11th canto, and it's said to be a higher development than the Bhagavad Gita. Perhaps not many of you have read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, but this Uddhava Gita is very important in the 11th canto. Many, many chapters, Krishna explaining devotional service more the intricacies of devotional service. And then there's even the Gopi Gita, which is, of course, very short. It's actually just part of a chapter in the 10th canto, which is an even higher development, the gopis expressing their transcendental feelings about Krishna. But here, Krishna himself explains the qualities of a devotee. I'll just read through it quickly. O Uddhava, a saintly person is merciful and never injures others. Even if others are aggressive, he's tolerant and forgiving toward all living entities. His strength and meaning in life come from the truth itself. He is free from all envy and jealousy, and his mind is equal in material happiness and distress. Thus he dedicates his time to work for the welfare of all others. His intelligence is never bewildered by material desires, and he has controlled his senses. His behavior is always pleasing, never harsh, and always exemplary, and he is free from possessiveness. He never endeavors in ordinary worldly activities, and he strictly controls his eating. He therefore always remains peaceful and steady. A saintly person is thoughtful and accepts me as his only shelter. Such a person is very cautious in the execution of his duties and is never subject to superficial transformations, because he is steady and noble, even in distressing situations. He's conquered over the 6 material qualities, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. He is free from all desire for prestige and offers honor to others. He is expert in reviving the Krishna consciousness of others and therefore never cheats anyone. Rather, he is a well-wishing friend to all, being most merciful. Such a saintly person must be considered the most learned of men. He perfectly understands that the ordinary religious duties prescribed by me in various Vedic scriptures possess favorable qualities that purify the performer, and he knows that neglect of such duties constitutes a discrepancy in one's life. Having taken complete shelter at my lotus feet, however, a saintly person ultimately renounces such ordinary religious duties and worships me alone. He is thus considered to be the best among all living entities. So that is about four verses from the 11th chapter of the 11th canto. The devotee is the best of all people because the devotee possesses the highest qualities. But, or even really amongst those qualities, the main quality is being attached to Krishna. And Krishna appreciates this quality so much that, this is what this first offense really is related to, how the holy name of the Lord is actually Krishna himself. And the devotees are very dear to Krishna, extremely dear. So if you offend a devotee, you offend Krishna. It's very, very serious. You cannot get Krishna's mercy if you offend a devotee. Now, of course, the question might arise, offending a devotee. We will, as we have done in previous years, after just warming up slightly, I can see you're all warming up because the room's getting warm. So, and some of you are already falling asleep. So we will get up and walk around a little and wave our arms around a little, get a little excited and try and get you all a little excited. Okay, so the devotees are very dear to Krishna. And, of course, the pure devotees are particularly dear to Krishna. Very dear to Krishna. But what about the other devotees? When we hear about this first offense to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives, what sort of devotees are we talking about? Are we talking about the pure devotees? Or the sort of medium pure devotees? Or which devotees are we talking about? What do you think? All, we're talking about all the devotees. This applies to all the devotees, down to the very last one that you could consider a devotee by, you know, just using your imagination a little bit. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find a very graphic example of this. At least in the sense of someone who was, you know, you really had to use your imagination a bit to consider this person a devotee. But this person was definitely accepted by Krishna and got some real mercy that we'd all like to get. So can you think who I might be talking about? Who might I be talking about? Oh, yeah, very good. Putana. Putana. Now, in order to consider Putana a devotee, I think you have to use your imagination a bit. Yes. Because in the Bhagavatam, when Uddhava, who is the person who really acknowledges this fact that Putana was a devotee, or at least she was dear to Krishna because she was something of a devotee, he refers to her as Asadvi. Sadvi is the feminine form of sadhu. We have here the sadhus and the sadvis, like the prabhus. I know we have this practice in ISKCON of the prabhus and the mutajis. But actually it's the Prabhu, strictly speaking, the Prabhus and the Prabhis. Yes. Anyway, I don't know if that's going to be introduced. But it's technically correct Sanskrit. Or more correct, at least.